Well, great to have your company this morning. Jeremy Leliga to join us this hour, as will Marinda Carfrae. Great story about this world-ranked triathlete, Australian, of course, doing some virtual work on the weekend, and her husband made a mess of it. So we'll have a chat with her, and she can tell us the whole story. For Sean, Gary, regardless of who your sponsors are, why would you be encouraging people to leave their house unnecessarily? Sean, you mustn't have been listening. I said for essential travel. That's what the Melbourne Airport deal is, essential travel. So that's the point there. They're doing a fantastic job. AFL Hubs, Kyabram, Dimboola, and Skinner Reserve Wisp. There's a trio.
You're reading out the text that I sent into your show this morning. Kyabram would be fantastic, Dimboola, Skinner Reserve. But I actually like this idea because there are a lot of people hurting on... They've copped the double whammy down around Gippsland and other parts of the country where they've been hit by bushfires over the summer. Mm. Maybe we could look at, you know, creating one of these hubs in Gippsland somewhere.
I like it.
Help, you know, just trying to help some of the local traders in some way too.
Wow.
Accommodation, obviously you're going to have a lot of accommodation facility to be able to
look
after six teams.
Are we going to be able to have crowds though?
No crowds, but you're still going to have food, you're going to have accommodation, you're going to have a lot of things associated with putting these games on. So, of course, that's going to help local traders, is it not?
Yeah, no, 100% it will. But and eventually we hope that the crowds could come back. If that was the case, maybe a
at
game
some
or
point
two
they
down
will.
There would be fantastic. I think that's a great idea by you. A lot of people are suggesting that the NRL and the AFL are looking at the island resorts, Hamilton Island, Hayman Island, Badara Island.
They wouldn't have a footy ground up there, surely.
Well,
they wouldn't. AFL ground, would they?
How long would it take to be able to knock something up?
Well, not long. We just go to Coolabah Turf and you say, listen, guys, we just need
Bruce
to roll
Knuckle
out
Thompson
some...
and you can go up there with Jeff Thompson and sort it out.
Between the three of us, I reckon we're talking maybe 6 to 10 days maximum to set up an AFL oval.
That'd be perfect. Tassie is the other area that is strongly being touted as a great setup down there because they got isolating very quickly. The number of coronavirus victim or cases down there is very low.
So a serious question. A serious question. If you were a player and this was put to you right today and you're a young player, okay, you've got three young children, you've got a wife, you're in isolation at the moment, and your football club rings you and says, okay, look, this is how we think we're going to be able to restart the AFL season. What we're going to do is we're going to ship all our players, say you play for Melbourne, we're going to send you to Tasmania. We don't know how long you might be down there for. It could be as long as 6 to 8 weeks to 3 months it might be. What do you think about that as a young father?
I think you'd have to look at it in these extraordinary times, Tim. I mean, this is the world we live in. Miners, you know, if people working in the mining industry go away and leave their families for 3, 4, 5 weeks at a time, fly in, fly out, those sorts of people. So in these extraordinary times, I think we have a look at it, don't we?
I think it's like already that what's taken place has disrupted so many people's lives. But I think for something like that to take place too, gee, I think there's going to be, I think there'll be pushback from the players. I understand, you know, the AFL might say, look, this is a way of you getting your full whack and your full wage again, whatever it might be. But I would think there's a hell of a lot of a negotiation to take place before this gets a tick of approval.
A lot of speckled text. Just curious, guys, if you can't have a crowd, how do you have a game? Well, that's what happened in round one, is you eventually coming out the other side, I suppose. They see it good enough to be able to play the game, but we also just try to keep numbers down by not having crowds gather. Also, Sean, he's a dog with a bone. You talked about Chemist Warehouse. Well, lots of essential travel to Chemist Warehouse needed right now, of course, coming into this particular season. Scrapbook photo of you, Wispy. I'm going to get to a little bit later. Actually, I'll talk about it now. It's on our Twitter page.
Before you do that, because you've posted a photo of the kangaroos, you've been looking out your front window there at the kangaroos. Look, I know a little bit about kangaroos. Is that kangaroo in the foreground? That looks like a female Western Grey to me. That may have just been blown off course a little bit. Macropus fuliginosus. Well, the two behind look like the Macropus giganteus, the standard Eastern Greys. Would I be right in saying that?
You're a biggest novice. That's what you are. You got on Wikipedia, did you, to read about kangaroos? They're right outside the window, right here. The photo
be
we
careful.
Put up...
Be careful with them this time of year because for those that are in the know, it is a frisky time of the year for the kangaroo, your standard eastern grey kangaroo.
Well, they don't come anywhere. They don't let us get anywhere near them. They just scatter as soon as you walk out the door.
Okay, well, you just be careful.
All right, thanks, Whispers. The photo we've got up of you in the scrapbook, which I've come across these photos of you on like an Albie Mangles-style safari with you thinking you're Albie and Wendy thinks she's Judy Greene. And you catch this one is the one we've put up of you catching a fish, is it?
Yeah, that's when I went, that's up in the outback.
Who's the bloke with you?
That's Knackers who helped me. He said that nobody, that's the Roper River in the back. He said nobody has ever caught a fish in this part of the river ever, right? Yeah. So I went out and I got myself a little witchetty grub and I dipped it in a little bit of honey. It's a secret little recipe that the Wisp has when he goes fishing. And I think you'll find that is a very nice barramundi on the end
is
of the line.
Is that a barramundi? Here.
My word, it is a barramundi.
What about your fishing outfit? You got your rolled up shorts. You were pretty happy with yourself back in the day, weren't you? Got
yes.
Your John Lennon's glasses.
Yes.
Yes, indeed you were. Now, listen, I was reading in the Herald Sun this morning.
Crocs in that water too. Crocs in there.
Yeah, well, I'll get back to that. This is a fantastic story. It's in the Score. This is what alerted to Australia's triathlon world champion, if you don't mind, Marinda Carfrae. So she's competing in a virtual triathlon, which in itself has got me interested in how you do the swimming remotely, but we can ask her. She's leading, right? She's flying along on a 90-kilometre bike leg, and all of a sudden her husband trips over the cord, and that was the end of it. Disconnected her and put her out of the race. We needed to get to the bottom of this. Marinda joins us on the line. Welcome, Marinda.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having us. I've got my husband, the culprit, on the line too.
Tim, my man, you sit tight because we're going to get to you. But first of all, Marinda, can you talk us through a virtual competition from a triathlon point of view, because I can get the bike, I can understand the riding, the running. It's the other bit that interests me most. Talk us through it.
Actually, the virtual race kicked off this weekend. I was to be the first of many of these races that they're going to roll out. And originally, we were going to do running and biking. They weren't going to do swimming. Obviously, all the pools are closed. We actually do have a master spa endless pool in our backyard, so we could have done it. But
sorry, what do you got in the
backyard? Race in their own houses.
What is it in the
we
backyard?
We do have a master. It's called a master spa. It's kind of like an endless pool, so you basically can swim in the spot and have the jet sort of push back at
yes.
you. So we're pretty well set up here at our home here in Boulder, Colorado. But they decided with everybody racing from their own homes, it would actually just be a bike challenge, and then the running portion just needed to be completed. So you could go do that at any time over, I think it was a three-day window. Obviously, there's professional side of it, but also a bunch of amateur races, I think over 1,000 or more, probably more than that. Don't quote me on that. Racing all around the world. So there was a time limit to get all of the 5K run done, the 90K bike done, and the 21K run done. But they only really did the 90-kilometre bike as a competition and on Facebook watch. So that's where Tim was on screen when he walked behind the treadmill and kicked the plug out.
Okay, so you're going beautifully at this stage. You're in the lead, is that right?
Yeah, I was riding with two of the other girls. There was only four pro women. They were rolling out four professional athletes at a time because they could only really Skype in four of us at a time. So I think next Sunday is Tim's turn. He'll be racing on Sunday against the pro men.
Don't let Rennie near the power forward, guys.
Right. So Tim, you've got the water bottle and you're just there to assist. And then what happened next?
Yeah, so I actually just as a joke came in. I brought two of Rennie's three Ironman World Championship trophies into the room just to have a little bit of fun. And so I came around to kind of put them by her and put it in the camera shot. And just hit the power cord accidentally. Whoops.
And what sort of feedback did you get straight away, Tim?
You know, it was at first we didn't realize what happened. We thought it was a glitch in the software for the platform. Since it was this was the first time this event has ever happened, we figured there'd be some bumps. But yeah, once we figured it was the power cord, we actually it's on one of our Instagrams. We were talking about it, and Rennie's like, "You did it!
It was
the power cord."
Yeah, we're trying to troubleshoot what had gone wrong, and then Tim's like, "Oh, the power cord come out," and then we realized it was actually his big foot kicking it around when he walked around the back to be, you know, motivational for me with my world title trophies in the background. So.
Well, it was well-intentioned, yeah, Tim, that's the thing. The fact that you were coming in to bring in these trophies to motivate Rinder was a well-intentioned thing. So I guess from that point of view, you would have...
It was great intention, poor execution, fellas.
Now, you can obviously you can do this as part of your training. Can you actually... You're over there in Colorado. Are you allowed out to train at the moment, or is this... Are you in total lockdown there?
We are allowed out to exercise. We're basically on a stay-at-home order, which I think is similar in Australia. I have, obviously, family and friends down there, and you're only really allowed to go out for essentials, so grocery shopping, and we are allowed to go out and exercise. And fortunately here, there's a lot of open space that we can go out and exercise in without being certain, you know, with being socially correct in terms of getting... out away from other people.
It's a great story.
Basically, common sense if you leave the house.
Yeah, sure. How realistic is it when you're racing? Like, it's a 90k bike race and you got the three other screens. Can you see your competitors all at once, or how does it just the logistics work?
Yeah, so the platform itself is called Ruby, and there's another one called Swift. So there's a couple of platforms out there you can race online, and different races happening all the time, actually. And on the screen, you can see where the other competitors are. You can see, like, how far ahead, for example. At that point, I think I was right in front of one of the other girls, only, like, 20 meters in front. So she had a minus 20 beside her name, so I could kind of see exactly how far behind she was. There was another girl that was only 100 meters behind, and then one other girl that was a couple of kilometers behind. But, yeah, you can see exactly where you are. You can see how many watts per kilo you're pushing out. It is pretty realistic, but a couple of little glitches in that, you know, we're riding at altitude. Some people are riding at sea level. That makes it a little bit more challenging, or a bit more of a workout for those riding at altitude. And, yeah, a couple of other things, glitches I think they need to work on. But all in all, I think it's a great platform and a great way to just connect. And that was really the main focus of this event, connecting with, you know, the community, our Ironman community, exercising under these trying times, and just having a bit of fun with it. And yeah, I think the response from Tim ruining my race has actually been pretty positive and pretty fun. So I think it gave some people something to laugh about, which is good in this time.
It's great to talk to both of you, Tim. If you're going, it's your turn this week, I'd be very, very careful. If you happen to hit the lead at some stage, I'd lock the door.
Oh, yeah, we've already ordered the orange cones, or witch hats, I guess, to put around the court. So we'll have it locked off. And, guys, just real quick, I'd love to say, you know, I love when Rinnie gets the chance to talk to Australians, because her accent gets a little stronger. So it's a nice little reminder of the Aussie in her. It gets toned down over here a little bit in the U.S.
I'm sure she's loud and proud of Aussie, and we're proud of her and doing great things. And we appreciate Absolutely. You both for hopping on this morning.
No worries, guys. Thanks so much.
Cheers.
Rinder and Tim, Carfrae Wispy, there is, that would test the relationship, I would have thought. If you're in the middle of a 90K race and you're winning, and then your husband pulls the cord on you. But,
there's a lot of things testing relationships at the moment. That is a very funny story. Gary, I'm gonna throw something up to you a little bit later too, about the survivor-style swimming boot camp in Australia. Did you read about this over the weekend?
I did, indeed. We'll have a talk about it after this. We've got to get a breakaway. No, we're not. Hang on, just need some direction from our boys.
Yeah, we need to get a breakaway.
We do need to get a breakaway.
My word, we do.
Break then calls. Jeremy, Jeremy's going to join us after 8:30. Just a little bit of a breakdown in communication there, but your calls, 1300 736 736. More of SEM Breakfast after this.